with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not be a false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecution and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As a young king of the Lord's people, Solomon pleased the Lord very much. One night God appeared to Solomon and told him to ask for whatever he wanted from the Lord. Solomon could have gotten anything he desired. We might ask ourselves what we would have asked if God had queried us in the same way. Solomon asked not for power, not for money, not for health, not for a long life, not for a beautiful queen, or even 300 queens and 700 concubines. He asks for wisdom. Today's first reading, Solomon shows us that to some degree he was already wise in asking for what he did. "I preferred wisdom," he tells us, "to scepters and thrones. I counted wealth as nothing in comparison with her. I loved her more than health and beauty, and I chose to have her rather than light, because her radiance never ceases." This real wisdom was a gift from God, to see things as God sees them, to see things as they really are, and thereby to make right judgments, to choose well, to order everything in life toward God. That is the prayer we all ask for in the responsorial psalm today, we say. We beg the Lord, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart." We ask God for the grace to help us to see how in each of our days, including the hardest days, God was there, forming us, helping us, passing on to us a wisdom not of this world. Make us glad, we ask. Glad for the days when you afflicted us, for the years when we saw evil. This type of wisdom would reach its culmination, St. Paul would tell us, in Christ crucified, who was a scandal for the Jews and foolishness for the Gentiles, but for those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The crucified Lord would become God's incarnate wisdom, and he wanted us to have it, which is why he called us to follow him along that cruciform path of holy prudence. Jesus would tell us, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross each day and follow me. Jesus wants us, like Solomon, to prefer his wisdom to scepters and thrones, to count wealth as nothing in comparison, to love it more than health and beauty, even than light. He wants to bestow that gift upon us. But this wisdom doesn't come on the cheap. We have to treat it like that pearl of great price, treasure buried in the field, worth sacrificing everything we have to get it. Because this relationship with God, the way it changes us, is worth far more than everything else in the world can buy. This helps us to understand the great drama that takes place in today's gospel with Jesus' encounter with this young man. And it helps us to understand the great drama for which this scene in the gospel is a mirror for each of us. A good young man with lots of enthusiasm came up to Jesus. He already recognized that there was something different in the Lord, which is why Jesus wanted to reduce what was already implicit in motivating this man. Why do you call me good? God alone is good. Therefore, if you're calling me good, recognize that you're seeing a little spark of the divine in me. You're going to need that for what I'm going to challenge you to do later. This young man was concerned with the deepest and most important question, like the one he asked Jesus. What good must I do to inherit eternal life? He already had some faith in Jesus, coming to him not just as a rabbi, but as this good teacher, someone who intrigued him such that he would ask him how to order his life in such a way as to live forever. He recognized that despite all his material wealth, despite even his moral goodness, something was missing in his life. His heart was yearning for something more. He knew that he was called to something greater. He grasped that the life God intended for us had to consist in so much more than merely in not breaking the Decalogue. And so he asked us in St. Matthew's account of the same scene, what do I lack? What am I missing? St. Mark tells us tonight that Jesus looked at him on the inside with love. Two words to look in Greek. One means you see as you look as we would ordinarily look at anything. But you're looking at me now. But then there's another in which you see somebody's inside. And that was the verb chosen here. Jesus looked at his heart and loved him. And then he said paradoxically, the one thing you lack is you have too much. You lack the detachment that's necessary for me to fill you. And so Jesus told him in a brutally honest, direct way, there's one thing you lack. Go sell what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. He needed to be detached from substitutes so that he could attach himself to the absolute. He had previously lived a good life, but Jesus was calling him now to greatness. He already had some faith in Jesus as a good teacher, but Jesus was now calling him to an upgrade in faith, a total commitment. He had previously kept the second tablet of the Ten Commandments, all about love of neighbor, but Jesus was now calling him to a much more radical following of both tablets of the Decalogue. To love his neighbor to the point of using all his possessions to care for his neighbor. to loving God to the point of accounting him more valuable than all his possessions, and following him along this cruciform path of total self-giving love. Saint Therese Lisieux, the great doctor of the church, who never even attended high school, and therefore a tremendous example of the one who was enriched with a wisdom from God that you can't learn by devouring even all the titles in the New York Public Library. Saint Therese taught us that we grow in the spiritual life by subtraction, not fundamentally by addition. Once a novice, a young sister sighed in her presence and said, "When I think of everything I still have to acquire," and a little flower replied, "You mean to lose?" Jesus takes it upon himself to fill your soul in the measure that you rid it of its imperfection. "I see that you have taken the wrong road. You'll never arrive at the end of your journey. You're wanting to climb a great mountain, and the good God is trying to make you descend it. He's waiting for you at the bottom, in the fertile valley of humility and detachment." The rich young man needed to learn this lesson. Unfortunately, he wasn't ready for the challenge that spiritual perfection required, because he had so many possessions that owned him. He looked at the path of holiness as something he could do. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Something he could add on to what he was already doing and had. It was the real path to what the Lord had made his restless heart to seek, was going to be given only through emptying, so that Christ could become his all. The Lord Jesus is always asking us to let go of many of his gifts in order to help us to recognize that the greatest gift of all is the giver. He's regularly asking us to lose our life to save it, to go the path of the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying in order to become truly fruitful. He asked this choice of Abram, to leave his ancestral land of Ur of the Chaldeans at the age where he was already ensconced as an AARP member at 75, and follow him to a new land that he would reveal to him only much later along the journey. He asked the same choice of Moses, asking him to leave behind his refuge in Midian and return to Pharaoh in order to lead his people to freedom. He asked this choice of the Old Testament prophets. He asked this choice of the apostles, to leave behind their boats and their nets and their great drafts of fish, their tax tables with the money on it, their whole lives up until then. But St. Peter in today's gospel called everything, and he meant everything. "We have left everything, Lord, to follow you." To commit ourselves entirely to collaborating with Jesus in saving the world. He asked this choice of the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, to whom this Church of the Holy Family is dedicated, who placed their lives fully in the service of God and his redemptive plan. He asked this choice of so many of the great saints: Augustine, Benedict, Francis, Dominic, Ignatius, Francis Xavier, Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Avila, Edith Stein, Francis Xavier Cabrini, Therese Lisieux. He asked it of so many converts, like Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman, whose feast the Church celebrated yesterday, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, here from the city, and scores of others. The Lord asks us to give up a lot. Sometimes the Lord asks us to give up what seems like everything, burning bridges and boats, and staking our whole life on what he's asking. And real wisdom involves seeing this as the greatest investment, the biggest no-brainer deal we've ever been offered. There's a temptation for us to look at today's episode of the rich young man exclusively in terms of material possession. When the rich young man was confronted with the choice between his stuff and Jesus, between his jewelry and gold and silver coins or the pearl of great price, between continuing to call his own shots or following the Lord, between the good life he had had and the great one to which Jesus was calling, between the little faith he then was living by and the great faith to which Jesus was trying to upgrade him, the rich young man chose the former. His face fell, St. Mark tells us today. And he went away sad and grieving because he had many possessions and couldn't let go of them in faith to follow Jesus. This is why Jesus told him quite clearly that we cannot serve both God and mammon. We have to make the choice for God over all the riches in the world. But the far more general point for all of us, including those of us here present who live by the vow of poverty, is to put God over the gifts and to look at everything with which he's blessed us as gifts to be used for his kingdom. We need to be ready to spend it all, to give it all, to use everything he's given us as spiritual Oscar Schindler, to follow him along the narrow path of wisdom and to get as many people as possible to join us on that road to life. And this isn't easy. All of us at some point are tempted to try to water the Lord's calling down, to blunt its immediacy, to soften its summons. The devil wants to tempt us in this path by trying to substitute the worldly wisdom for God's, to convince us that all God wants of us is to love him with a little rather than to love him with all, 100% of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. He wants to seduce us into thinking that if we give a quarter to a homeless person, everything's fine in a relationship with God. Jesus is calling us to love others as he has loved us. Sacrifice ourselves and what he's given us out of love for them, just like Jesus never held anything back out of love for us. That's why we so much need God's word and his help. In today's epistle, as we heard Dan proclaim, we read that the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, which is the sharpest sword in the ancient world, most powerful weapon. It has the ability to find the dividing point between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, to discern the reflections and thoughts not just of the mind but of the heart, what we really desire and love most. Everything is naked and exposed before God. And the Word of God is like that mirror, St. James will tell us, to help us to see who we really are so that we can then turn to God for the help he knows we need to become who he created us to be. The Word of God both shocks and consoles. It leads us to die to ourselves in the way we must in order for God to become truly and fully alive within us. God wishes us all to become perfect. And the Greek word employed there is teleos, which means fit for the purpose for which God made us. Fit to become his beloved sons and daughters, fit to behave and live as chips off the old divine block. Rather than impose this will on us, he proposes it to our will. His heart speaks softly to our own heart, leading us to approach him who is good, to admit to him that we're not yet who we want to be and whom we know he wants us to be, that we are not yet fulfilled in our relationship with him, and to have the courage to ask, what do I lack? And to open ourselves up to his answer, to his surgical word. It will help us to divest ourselves of our attachments, not just to things, but even to the gifts that he gave us, which were provisional, because he wanted to help us to continue to grow. Kirsten, we give thanks for the witness of your faith, that your love for the Lord has brought you to continue asking the question to the Lord who is good. And when you perceive his answer, no matter what it will cost you, to say fiat, to say amen, to say yes, not just intellectually, but with your heart and with all your strength. We pray for you tonight with all the angels and saints that you might continue to say that yes in such a way that we will all be inspired to echo it. And the greatest strength that the Lord gives us is not just by the enunciation of his holy words, because the Lord wants his word to take on our own flesh, He makes it possible by himself taking on flesh and dwelling among us. You'll be able to receive the Lord Jesus tonight, as we Catholics believe. We'll continue to speak to you on the inside so that you can continue to nourish this interior conversation. It's from the inside. He looks at you like he looked at that rich young man, with abundant love. And grasps onto your hand with his gloriously scarred one out of love for you. Continues to lead you step by step into the path of true wisdom, which is worth more than all the world's silver and gold. Today, surrounded by your friends, we've come here around this altar so that the Lord, who has begun this good work in you, might bring it one step closer to completion. Praise be Jesus Christ.